there appears to be some fluidity in the standings of the Republican candidates for president among voters in New Hampshire. The latest WBUR poll out this morning shows Donald Trump remains on top, followed closely by Ben Carson, but support for both has dropped a bit in the past month. Picking up momentum are Senator Marco Rubio, who's moved into third place, and Governor Chris Christie, who's now tied with Jeb Bush for fifth. A month ago, Christie and Rubio each had just 2% support, but for Christie, it's now up to 8%. For Rubio, it's at 11%. With us this morning to talk about all this, the state of the presidential race, are our regular political analyst, Republican strategist Todd Domke. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Bob.
And Democratic strategist Dan Payne, who's also here in the studio with us this morning. Hi, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
So the WBUR poll has Trump up by just 2 points over Carson, who leads in Iowa and in other polls. What accounts for the staying power of these two establishment outsiders, Todd?
Well, I think it's too simple to just say they are appealing to anger. You know, it's more than anger. It's more than alienation. I think it's dread and anxiety out there that things are deteriorating. The Real Clear Politics average of national polls shows that 63% of voters feel the country is on the wrong track. Only 27% say we're going in the right direction. And in a poll for CNN, 59% thought the American dream is impossible for most Americans to achieve. So here comes Trump with this new book. The title is Crippled America, with the subtitle, of course, How to Make America Great Again. He's marketing to what many voters believe, that career politicians can't be trusted to shake up the system and turn around the country. So it's not surprising that many support him and Dr. Carson on the right, and many support Bernie Sanders on the left, because they think the establishment politicians, the career politicians, can't be trusted to reform a system that rewards only the special interests and insiders.
All right, Dan Payne.
Well, no one has challenged Trump or Carson. I mean, no one has run TV spots against them. For instance, I wonder how many Republicans know that Carson, a medical doctor, doesn't believe in evolution, or that he says Obamacare is slavery. Trump promises to round up 11 million undocumented immigrants without saying how he'll do it. And then he claims that when he heard that Ford Motor brought some jobs back from Mexico to the U.S., it was because he was the one who complained about it. But I think once Trump and Carson kind of mix it up with the rest of the candidates, the race will shift.
All right, which leads to the next question. Our poll was taken after last week's debate, and you both told us that you expected a surge for Marco Rubio based on his debate performance. Rubio is in striking distance, Dan, but can he catch up?
Well, according to several New Hampshire and Iowa and national polls, he's trending up, and perhaps related to that, Jeb Bush is falling down. In fact, the two are tied together since Rubio has been a protege of Jeb Bush in Florida. And recently, one of Jeb's fattest fat cats jumped to Rubio. It's possible that Rubio could take enough votes from Bush to catch the current front runners, Trump and Carson. Bush has to be at least third in New Hampshire. Rubio, on the other hand, could finish fourth and still be in contention.
Yeah, for Rubio to be 5 to 7 points behind the front runners in New Hampshire has got to be very encouraging for his campaign. He has 3 months to go to catch up with personal campaigning and debates, and he has shown in the past that he can come on strong at the end, as he did in his race for the Senate in Florida. So if he finished a strong second in the primary in New Hampshire, he could emerge with momentum and become the main alternative to a Trump or Carson then. And the so-called establishment moderate wing of the party would probably coalesce around him at that point.
Well, let me ask, what's the likelihood that the conservatives in the Republican Party will settle on an establishment candidate like Rubio after having two establishment candidates in the last two elections, John McCain and Mitt Romney, and losing with both of them?
Well, many conservatives don't see Rubio as strictly establishment. He won his Senate seat as a Tea Party conservative, and he's generally conservative. He has the distinction in this field of being the only Republican candidate who can plausibly appeal to both wings of the party and most easily unite the factions, much like Paul Ryan did in winning the House speakership.
Well, Republican caucus-goers in Iowa are overwhelmingly far-right evangelicals, and Rubio doesn't have much of a base in Iowa. But he can't afford to get wiped out there either. He's got to be reasonably viable coming into New Hampshire. New Hampshire will be willing to consider Rubio or Kasich or even rebuilt Jeb Bush. But the state has other options, so it'll be tough for any one candidate to run away with it.
I want to ask another Jeb Bush question. You talked about him a moment ago, Dan. Can Bush reboot and how? And doesn't he have to pull out a win? And I asked that part of the question mindful that he told ABC Television, apparently, that he would win in New Hampshire. So he's predicted a win. If he doesn't, is he done?
Well, he's taking a chance. His campaign and his super PAC have used an approach that we're seeing now in TV spots to sell his record as governor of Florida. His new slogan, Jeb Will Fix It, reminds a lot of people of his own campaign needing fixing. It's broken. He needs help from other candidates to do some of the dirty work against Trump and Carson.
That's right. Bush is like Hillary Clinton and already having rebooted several times in the course of the campaign. So if he doesn't come out of New Hampshire being able to plausibly claim some kind of win, a moral victory, a comeback of some kind, he'd be limping out of New Hampshire, heading to a sure loss in South Carolina and probably in Florida.
All right, the Democrats, Dan, Hillary Clinton leads nationally, but they're neck and neck in New Hampshire. Sanders is from next door, Vermont, so he could be considered a favorite son of sorts, but Clinton has a better New Hampshire organization. Edge to which of them at this point?
Well, Hillary Clinton won New Hampshire against Barack Obama in 2008, and I'd be surprised if she gets beaten there. Support for her is growing nationally. After several months when she was in decline, she has momentum now, which is a powerful force in elections. And I have to wonder if people in New Hampshire look to Vermont for political direction. I mean, these states are quite different politically.
That's right. I think after all the time Hillary has spent in New Hampshire, she's considered something of a favorite daughter by many Democrats. So that offsets somewhat that Bernie Sanders is a neighbor and old friend there. Both of them have strong organizations, plenty of money. But I think what will determine who wins is what voters feel in those final days. If they feel Clinton is on her way to a coronation, they might feel sympathy for Sanders and go with him, just as they did for Hillary against Barack Obama in 2008. And this time, I think Sanders activists are more motivated than Clinton backers. Maybe they'll turn out in greater numbers to send a message that they're not satisfied with Clinton, that she's too establishment or too untrustworthy.
All right, state of the campaign with our political team. Big thanks to Republican Todd Domke. Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
And Democrat Dan Payne. Thank you, Dan.
Always glad to do it.
To read their analysis of the ongoing campaign and to see full results of that new WBUR poll out this morning, go to WBUR's new home for elections and politics, WBUR Politicker. Find it at WBUR.org.